Amen. Praise God. Heart after God. Loves the Lord.
There have been few concepts that have changed my life as drastically as understanding and applying the authority of God in my life. Amen. When we don't like it, we need it. When we like it, we need it. When we don't understand it, we need it. Amen. Now, I've learned I'd rather have a faulty covering than no covering at all. But thank God we have pretty good coverings around here. Amen. Amen, Ellie. Amen. So if you will, turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Hebrews in chapter 12. I'm going to do my very best to minister the word of the Lord delivered unto me. I don't know about you, but I've enjoyed how God has ministered in these last couple months. I believe that there has been a shifting in my own priorities. My values are changing. Masks are falling. Agendas are being laid down. And God is calling for one church with one mission to reach the harvest, amen, that is white and all ready to harvest. So if you will, read with me from your Bibles in the book of Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us, I want you to see how prominently that idea of us is encapsulated in this passage. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, church, do you remember what he did for you? He endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of God. Jesus, we love you, Lord God, and I ask for your word to find a sure place in every heart tonight, Jesus. It's not about me. It's not about this platform, but Jesus, this is about your kingdom, God. Grow your kingdom, God. Set your body at whole, Lord God, and make us healthy, Jesus. We long for you, God. Your word promises that the hungry shall be filled. In Jesus, I pray, Lord God, that a hungry soul will be filled with your word tonight, Jesus. My God, not what I will, Lord God, but let your will be done in Jesus' holy name. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Amen. There has been a theme and a direction that God has been taking this church in these last couple months, where unashamedly the Word of God is asking us to examine each one our souls. It's like God is weeding his garden. Amen. I don't know about you, but I don't find weeding to be particularly fun. Some people really get a kick out of weeding. I pray for your soul. I had a guy at work, Mike the mechanic, older gentleman. I weed with my bare hands. It don't bother me. And he really would weed thistles with his bare hands. His hands were so tough. You know, there's something about weeding. Weeding is messy. Weeding would be painful for the ground, but by goodness, weeding is necessary if there's going to be growth. Amen? And 2020, without a shadow of a doubt, is a time for growth. Amen? Not just for the church, UPC as a whole, or even just Church of Pentecost, Brunswick. But 2020 is a time for growth in every family and for every soul, amen, to grow into your calling to reach the lost. And so we read what the writer of Hebrews wrote, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. What What is the writer referring to? Well, certainly they're referring to in context Hebrews chapter 11. Where faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Amen? And he goes through this line with Cain and Abel offering up a more excellent sacrifice. And talking about Enoch and Moses and all those heroes of old, the judges. And talking about how they walked by faith and not by sight. Because without faith, it is impossible to please him. And here, he says, we're surrounded by these witnesses. So because we're surrounded by these witnesses, there is an action I want you to take. I want you to lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. So I want to talk tonight about this concept of every weight. It is the will of God for you to lay aside every weight. Every weight that hinders and slows down your walk with God. And the writer of Hebrews makes this very clear distinction that there's a difference between the weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. So I'm going to ask for verbal, audible interaction. What is the difference between a weight and a sin? What is the difference between the sin which does so easily beset us and the weight that the writer of Hebrews says to lay down? I'll let you ponder that as I moisturize my esophagus. Yeah, I might. What is the difference between weights and sins? Oh, my youth class knows I will stare at you awkwardly until you answer. What is the difference between weights and sins? Because I'm there to tell you there's a difference. There is certainly a difference. I read in a story about preaching, about this lady who was a preacher. And, almost rolled my ankle right there. This was back in the day. And she loved to chew chewing gum. She loved to chew chewing gum. She lived in a culture. I did not grow up in this culture. I don't think so. Where chewing gum was a little rude. Or really not societally acceptable. Anyone ever, you know what I'm talking about? There was a day when chewing gum was like, you know, what the bad people do. You know, now the bad kids are like snorting it up and, you know, putting it up their veins and up their nostrils. But back in the day, they chewed chewing gum. And so she loved to chew chewing gum. But she was a minister of the gospel, and God spoke to her at her kitchen counter and said, whatever your name is, I don't want you to chew chewing gum anymore. That's not befitting for a preacher of the gospel. So what is the difference between a weight and a sin? Because I genuinely do not think that chewing gum is sinful. Any thoughts? I mean, just shoot it out there. I know it's a Thursday. We're in work brain. Some of us are. Brother Darren, thank you. Yes, sir.
Anything, you know, kind of like when we had, we always thought, we don't ask what's wrong with it, ask what's right with it, according to the word of God.
Amen.
If you can't find what's right with it, you might not find the thou shalt not.
Right, absolutely, yes, sir. Absolutely. Yeah. I try not to think about that fact. I try not to think about the fact that caffeine is a drug. Biologically, chemically, caffeine is a drug. And we are to be under the rule of no substance. So, but my goodness, I am under the rule of caffeine every now and then. Anyone else? The difference between a weight? Have you ever experienced a weight in your walk with God, something that weighs you down. Yes, sister. Absolutely.
Take their sin.
Absolutely. I love to ask these questions, and you'll learn. I'm not here. There's no right or wrong answer. I'm here to see what do you think about, because the writer of Hebrews says to lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. Sister Julie. Right.
Against the word of God, but like sin is, but it's not
cares of this life.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
You want to trust God, but you want to try to do it yourself.
Absolutely. Don't preach my message. Amen. Absolutely. Something that's weighing down. Sister Jerry? We're rolling. Yes. Absolutely. Was there a hand over here? Katie, right? Brother Aaron, that was you. Absolutely. Yes, you haven't let it go. Amen. Bad relationships can be a weight in your life. Bad habits can be a weight in your life, right? Let's just say, okay, in my own personal life, I know God is leading me to spend time with Him in the morning, right? Now, if I have a habit of staying up till 1 o'clock in the morning, right? That's a weight in my life because in turn, I hit the snooze on my alarm, I miss my time with God, and I feel super guilty. I feel terrible. The issue isn't really that I'm hitting snooze, it's that I have a habit of staying up too late. Amen? There are some things. There are weights that we pick up in our walk with God post-baptism. Amen? We talked about it on Sunday, you know, that we put so much emphasis on the new birth. But there's a ton of epistles after the new birth that God wants you to get past elementary things. That's why Paul said that we need to, at one point, get past the elementary things like baptism and learn how to walk with God and maybe learn how to walk in our purpose of building His kingdom. Weights could be these relationships, habits, or hurts I wrote down. Read in my notes. There are these hurts that we've held on to. I'm thinking about it, right? And I don't know if it's unforgiveness, but I'm just thinking about how I was hurt, and I just can't let it go. And the writer of Hebrews says, if you want to run in this race, you've got to lay aside every weight. Every weight. All of them. There are some things that are not specifically written down in God's word. Right? It's murder, I don't murder, lying, I'm getting better at not lying, stealing, thievering, adultering, I'm doing better at all that good stuff, at not doing it, not doing better at doing it, right? But as time has progressed, as technology has increased, come on, some people's Facebook usage can be a weight in your life. Amen. The places you hang out, the things that you eat or drink or do or don't do, the words that you say, the way you talk. Amen. The way people hear you, the way you present yourself can be a weight. Amen. That God needs to have the permission to say, give me this part of your life. And here's the whole premise of it. I'll give you a bird's eye view that God wants your relationship to be close enough to where he can say, give me this little part of your life that isn't necessarily a part of the book, but it doesn't please me and it doesn't help your walk with God. I want you to run, but right now you're walking. I want you to run, but right now you're crawling. Amen. It's kind of like if you see someone coming through the door and it's time for a potluck and they're like heavily laden with all these boxes and crock pots. And I'm sorry, I see Sister Kathy when I talk about this. Just overladen with galore, southern cooking, you know, greens, beans, all this stuff. It's falling all over. And you say, Sister Kathy, can I help you? And she says, no. She doesn't say that. She does run, but she doesn't say that. God walks. He sees us walking in our walk with him. And I think sometimes he sees us so heavy laden with the weights that we picked up. And over again, he tries to say, my child, you need to lay that down. My child, let go of that habit. My child, break that relationship. My child, stop talking to that person. Stop thinking like that. My child. And over again, we say, well, it wasn't in the book. Well, I've gotten so far with this weight, I think I can carry it a little further. God wants to be close enough with you that you will let go without argument. How many have argued with God when he's asked you to part with something? Right here, dude. Right here, center. God, seriously, though? That preacher does it? That preacher watches this stuff, brother? Come on. Seriously, God? He wants you to be able to let go and forsake some things without doubt. That wasn't God. That was yesterday's Stromboli. That wasn't God. That wasn't God. Come on. I don't know about you, but I have paced in this altar, wrestling in my soul over something that God is calling me to, but sure as goodness, I don't want to do it. Something that God is asking me to get rid of. A decision that God is asking me to make. God wants to bring you to a place of maturity where you will say, yes, God, I trust you. Even though I don't like it, I know it was you. How does God speak to us about weights? It's often through the conviction of the Holy Ghost. It's not often specifically through a word or memory verse, but it's just this voice. It's just this voice. Sometimes in the still of night. Sometimes if you sit still enough, and if you close your eyes, you can hear God whisper what he wants you to do. And we're going to practice this later. But I wonder if the reason why some of us don't hear the voice of God is because we never stop talking. Amen? Amen? As Elijah found out, sometimes the voice of God is in the quiet. Sometimes the voice, come on, it's hard to talk to somebody who's already talking. Actually, it's kind of pointless and it's kind of useless. So we went through it in our youth class and we're trying to practice it. If you want to hear the voice of God, you have to close your eyes, close your mouth, and just listen. And I'm telling you, there is somebody in here where God wants to help you let go of a weight that you've been carrying for way too long. You've been crawling when God has been calling you to run. Now is the time to run. Now is not the time to argue. God, I can't imagine my life without this habit. I can't imagine my life without this action. But Jesus says, why do you take another step? I have so much better for you. Brother Darren, you were stretching? Right.
It's almost like if you're quiet, there's something wrong with you. Well, no, the Bible has a lot to say about speaking in excess when you read the Proverbs.
Right.
And it doesn't have a lot of good to say about it. You know what I'm saying? So I think you're dead on. You've got to do it. Well, there's a place for quiet.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. There's a place for stopping long enough that
Right. Yes, sir. Yes, sir, it is. Yes. I try to actively just think of nothing. I'll never forget looking up here and seeing Brother Hernandez stand right here and watching as he just, his lips are not moving, his eyes are closed, and his face is upraised towards heaven. I don't think that he suddenly was struck with paralysis. I know he was listening to the voice of God. And so he's not speaking. He's listening. Amen? And that is something that God wants to cultivate in you, saint of God, because John 10 says his sheep know his voice. Are you his sheep this evening? Amen? Do you know his voice? And that is easier said than done, but my God, I want to work on it. Amen? We hate to see people laden down with heavy weights physically. I think it's even harder to watch people burdened with emotional weight. Is it not difficult to see somebody walk in your workplace, to see somebody walk into this church, and it is obvious that there is something that is emotionally weighing them down? A situation at home, a struggle, something they're fighting with, something that they just cannot seem. And you know, you know, conversations that you get into, you say one word and they're likely to just break down in tears and just flowing and falling everywhere. But God sees you spiritually weighted down. You may hide it from me. You may hide it from pastor. You may hide it from any other preacher or minister. But God sees you beyond emotionally weighted down. He sees you spiritually weighed down. Amen? And his will for you, if you're going to run this race that we run, is for you to lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience. Can we pull that back up? The writer says to run with patience. Why? Because there are going to be times when you don't feel like running any longer. Amen? When you just feel like crawling in bed and calling it a week. Amen. Where I don't want to do nothing at all. But I can hear the writer telling the church 2,000 years in the future, church, you are closer than I ever was. You are just a few years from stepping into the future that we've wrote about and talked about for millennia. Don't stop now. Moses waited for this day. Jesus preached of it. Abraham founded it. Come on. We're waiting for this day that you are about to step into. So don't stop now. God could have chosen you to be born in the BC. He could have been chosen for you to be born thousands of years ago. But my goodness, he chose for you to be born in the greatest day of the church. That is no coincidence. That is no accident. You have a purpose and you have a place to push us forward. Amen. So don't stop running. How do we? Verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Amen. Let's stop thinking about our beginning and let's focus on finishing and finishing well. Amen. You had a great beginning. I love that you spoke in tongues, but finish this race. Yep. Bring someone with you. Amen. Like Jesus. How did he do it? For the joy that was set before him endured the cross. I believe if we were to simplify this thing, that right there is the key to it all. Jesus wasn't looking at himself, but he said, nevertheless, not as I will, but as I will be done. He looked for the joy that was set before him. Amen. He looked at me. He looked at you. He saw everything he would bring you through and said, you know what? This cross is heavy. This journey is hard, but you're worth it. You're worth it. My child, you're worth it. So I'll take another step. I'll do whatever I got to do. I'll disciple, and do Bible study after Bible study after Bible study, because my child, you, the church, are worth it. If you want to start running in this thing again, it's time for us to get our eyes off of ourselves and get our eyes onto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. It's time to get our eyes off of ourselves, and it's time to get our eyes on what lies ahead, the joy that is before us. I'm telling you, there is no greater joy than watching somebody that you talk to, that you developed a relationship, being born again of water and the Spirit, amen, and walking with God in peace, amen, and victory. There is no greater joy. And so what am I saying? I'm saying it's time that I get my eyes off of my situation and get my eyes on the harvest. Because looking at myself is weight. Being concerned with what my life looks like is a weight I need to let go of. Amen? Because Jesus said, you know, you got your mind on all these things, on food and clothing and raiment. And look at the ravens. They feed themselves. Are they working 9 to 5? I don't think so. Look at the lilies. Come on, they're beautiful. They don't have a suit and tie, but they're more beautiful than all of Solomon's goodness. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Amen. That truly is the key to lift up our eyes off of our situations and to get our eyes back on what really matters. Amen. So what matters? What matters to this church? That's a good question each one of us should ask. And a question we've heard answered: build his kingdom. Seek first his kingdom. Grow. Grow as an individual, grow as a family, grow this church, grow the church at large. Amen? To grow. It's no different than it is in a relationship. In a relationship, you get to know one another, and it's the big things that matter, you know? Where'd you go to school? Where'd you go to college? You know? What do you want to do with your life? How many kids you want? Blah, blah, blah. But as you get further and further along, somehow it's the little things that irritate the snot out of one another. It's the little things that end up meaning more than anything ever could. It's the fact that he never puts his socks away. It's the fact that I think I might have been reminded that I have not done a load of laundry yet. It's the little things. It's the little things. As you get further and further along in your relationship, it's the little things. And so with God, I'm telling you, it's the same way. Okay, it's good now that you don't womanize. It's good now that you don't lie about your brothers and sisters. It's good. That's nice. But now we're getting down to the little things. How about the thoughts of your heart? How about the motive and intentions? God wants to get down to the little things. Amen. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 3. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Here it is. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of what? This life. What's he talking about? This life. Everything that you see, he's talking about those things which are seen. As Paul told the Corinthian church, the temporal. That he may, beat me on the draw there, that he may please him who hath called him to be a soldier. No man, if you could put that back up, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. That word entangleth, it's talking about, it's like weaving, you know? Anyone do some weaving? That's it's a dying art, folks. Weaving, sewing, taking two objects and kind of doing this deal with them. Inside, outside, left, right. I don't know. I don't do the crocheting thing. But they go together. And the whole point is to make one article of clothing, to make one thing, to where it's impossible to pull one strand away from another, to where all these different strands are like one, and it's impossible to make them separate. And Paul warns Timothy, and he warns the church today, if you want to fight this thing, if you want to be in the church, if you want to win the lost, if you want to make disciples, why are you entangling yourself with the affairs of this life? Why is it that your mind is so entangled and jumbled with everything you see? Because Paul said that the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen, they're eternal. And they work for us a more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. And so a way to analyze that in our own life is when we pray, are we praying for the things which are seen, or how much of our prayer time is spent on things which are not seen? Because I think that will detail, that will reveal, where is your mind entangled? My goodness, there are weights that we pick up that just bog us down. You don't have to raise your hand, but do you, or have you felt spiritually weighed down? Have you felt like your mind has been entangled and jumbled in this way and that way with the affairs of this life? Jesus wants to set you free. He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Give me your weight. God is calling you to a focus that you have never experienced before. Why? As it says in verse 4, that you may please him who hath called you to be a soldier. Amen. I think we need to remind ourselves, I need to remind myself, it's all about pleasing him anyway. And I'm not talking about just Sundays, because it's easy to remember to please God on Sundays. Smile for this person, raise your hands at this time, clap at this time, give during this time, kneel, stand, pray, jump, run, cartwheel, thank you, Jesus, Taco Bell. Amen? But what is it time to please God on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday? How do we do that? What pleases God? What brings a smile to God's face when he sees that you're really finally being like him? Because the word in the flesh told his children, greater love hath no man than one would lay down his life for his friends. Amen. God is calling this church to lay down your life Monday through Saturday. Lay down your life that we may please him who hath called us to be a soldier. Because when we're focused, we don't have time for distractions. We don't have time to get pulled this way and that. But it's all about pleasing God and reaching the end of our race. Amen. God is directing this church to be the church, amen, no matter what day of the week it is. And I believe that we're going to a place, amen, to grow and to multiply and to be added to the church daily. But for us to be added to the church and to see added to the church daily, we're going to have to be the church daily. Amen? And it's going to take sacrifice daily. I believe it's a lie from the enemy that we can see great things with no sacrifice. Anyone feel that? Anyone know that to be true? That if you're going to have something great, there's going to be sacrifice. And it's only a spirit of the age that wants something great with no sacrifice from its own. That wants the benefits of today without laying anything on the line. Amen? My God, we must not let that spirit creep into the church. Because God has made it so clear and so plain that if we would give ourselves fully to running this race, we're going to make it. We're going to please Him, and we're going to bring somebody else with us. That if we would lift up our eyes and look into the harvest, it is white and all ready to harvest. Did He mean it, or did He misspoke? Or was it just about 33 AD? But today, if we will lift up our eyes, are the fields white and all ready to harvest? I'm telling you, meeting this girl at a wedding months ago renewed my faith that the fields are white and all ready to harvest. Amen? There is a harvest out there. There are people out there who want God, who want truth and are tired of the lies that they've been experiencing. Amen? You ever seem to always get a phone call when you need to get something done? My goodness, that's me. And it always seems to be the same couple people. trying to get something done. I'm trying to get out the house. I'm trying to, you know, get the kids ready. I've got Judah slinging underwear on him and shoes on Eliana, buckling her in. And someone's like, ring, ring, ring. Oh. You ever just stare at your phone when it's ringing and you're arguing with yourself whether or not to pick it up? I know. It's a distraction. You see, I find that I in my own life have given myself too much to spiritual distractions. Distracted driving, statistic. Distracted driving, we all know it's the case. You pass someone on the highway, they're on their phone. You look up from your phone, see they're on their phone. What a moment it is. Distracted driving kills 9 people every day. Okay, hear this. This is staggering. In 2017, distracted driving took the lives of 391,000 people. 391,000 people died in an accident where distracted driving was the factor in one of the 2 vehicles. It's a serious problem. And among my age group, I'm sure most of us, if not all of us, have done it a time or 2. Don't even look at me. I know it's true. I know. But I wonder how many Bible studies have been lost because of a spiritually distracted apostolic. A spiritually distracted walk with God. How many Bible studies have been lost? How many relationships have we lost because we were too focused on? You know, there's a problem. You ever, when you were in high school, was there anyone who walked like this? They got their books. There's a problem. Inevitably, they run into somebody. And they act like it's their fault. Right? Because they got their eyes down on themselves. I don't even need that. It is dangerous to keep your eyes on yourself. You are a danger not only to yourself, but to those around you. Amen? That is the absolute truth. You are a danger. Inevitably, you will affect other people by your distracted walk with God. Whether it be your friends, God forbid, or those that matter the most, those who are in your own home. God has led me to examine my own family. And I believe we're in a place like Nehemiah, where the walls have been crumbling and each family is called to look at the walls by their own home. We need to look at the walls of our own family and say, am I struggling? Is there something that God is trying to get out of me personally? Because I want this church to go forward. I want this church to be healthy. But there is no healthy church if there are no healthy families. Healthy churches are made out of healthy families. Healthy men of God, healthy women of God, healthy youth of God, healthy children of God. Amen. That's what makes it. It's not a good-looking building. It's a people who are founded on the rock and have decided, as for me and my house, I don't care what that person preaches or what that person does. We will serve the Lord. I don't need somebody to get me jazzed up and to preach against this or that. I'm going to preach to myself Monday through Saturday. Amen. So I don't want to lose another Bible study because of a distracted walk with God. And I'll finish out as we read our last passage. How many Bible studies in your own life have been lost because of a distracted walk with God? Is there a weight that you've been carrying that God has been begging you, my child, let it go? I would ask, don't think about anybody else in the room, because this is for somebody without a shadow of a doubt. What have you been carrying that is weighing down your spirit? All three synoptic gospels tell the same story about a rich young ruler. And the Bible says that this young man came to Jesus and said, good master, you know, master, you're good. What can I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus says, well, have you done all the stuff? Have you not murdered anybody? You don't murder, right? You don't lie. You don't steal. You don't adulterize. You don't do all this stuff. You know, today, one of us to go to Jesus, he would say, apostolic, Pentecostal, follower of God, follower of the way. You go to church on Sunday and Thursday, right? You go to that Bible, that prayer meeting they have every first Tuesday. That's great. You give, you tithe, you did the whole Christmas for Christ act. That is great. You do all these things. But I want you to see what this rich young ruler asked. Something that Jesus would be so pleased if you would have the courage to ask him tonight. In Mark chapter 10 and verse 21. You see, Jesus looks at him and beholding him, loved him and said unto him, one thing thou lackest. Because the rich young ruler heard Jesus pat him on the back and say, good job, dude, you're doing all that good stuff. But Matthew records as this young man looks at Jesus and says, master, what do I lack? You see, I've looked in the eyes of a lot of young people, and I've seen a lot of people who wear skirts and don't wear shorts, who haven't cut a hair of their head since the day they were born, and yet they still feel a lack deep down inside. They go to every church service that their parents have ever drugged them to, and even ones that they, even other ones. They do it all, and yet they still feel a lack on the inside. And Jesus looks at this young man and he said, one thing thou lackest. Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast and give to the poor. And thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, take up the cross and follow me. And my friends, that right there is the definition of the weight. Because Jesus didn't ask every follower of his to sell everything that they had and to follow him. But he knew that for you specifically, there's something specifically that is holding your heart that nobody else is struggling with. There is something that is weighing you down. There's something that has your attention more than I have your attention. There is something that you wouldn't give up even if I asked you to. And for each one of us, I don't know what he would answer you. But my goodness, I know he's answered me week after week as he's asked me to forsake some things in my life that don't please him and that have the attention of my heart more than he does. You see, the rich young ruler couldn't see that Jesus was giving him an invitation to be one of his disciples, to be the church. And that's the same invitation that Jesus gives out today, an invitation to be the church. But he calls out, there is one thing. I don't know what that one thing is. I don't know what that one thing is. Each one of us might struggle with something else, whether a hurt, whether a habit, whether unforgiveness, whether a word that we speak or a doubt that we have, but a weight that has been weighing down your walk with God. And I invite you to hear the voice of God today. And so together, we are going to close every eyes. We are not going to speak. And we are going to hear the word of God. I need to hear it. If there is something that I lack, God, I want, Lord God, to let it go and to follow you. And so we're going to take a moment and listen for his voice. And then I think God will take it from there. So I invite you to hear the voice of God.